Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I am good.
All right. I'll take that as a good... I mean, that was a little... sounded like someone's programming you to say that, but other than that, it's... you know, good is good.
I know not of this programming. I am Matt. I am not Simpsons Appreciation Bot 65B.
You need to... hopefully you don't keep that up the whole podcast.
Keep what up, Robbie?
Stop, please. Before we get going, I will like to mention that if you enjoy the show, please review, rate, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. It helps people find us. More people find us, more people listen. We are really trying to grow, make the podcast bigger and better. So if you can do that for it really helps us out. This week's episode is Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, episode 7F09, written by John Swartzwelder, a very, very prolific Simpsons writer, directed by Jim Reardon, his first episode. He went on to direct many, many episodes. He also most recently worked, I think he still works for Disney. He co-wrote WALL-E. You might have heard of that movie.
No, never heard of that. Sorry.
He was nominated for an Oscar for that. This episode originally aired December 20th, 1990, so right before Christmas. It has the first appearance of both Sideshow Mel and Roger Myers Jr., which he, I think he makes three appearances on the show in total, voiced by Alex Rocco. It's an original broadcast. It was watched by 22.2 million viewers, finishing 34th in the ratings. It was Nielsen rating of 12.9, highest rated show on the Fox network that week, beating Married with Children. Which is pretty much that, and In Living Color was its...
that was the other big competition on Fox.
Yeah, the competition on Fox for that. The chalkboard gag is, well, I will not pledge allegiance to Bart.
Which, you know, you should really, if you want your kids to have self-esteem, they should really be pledging allegiance to themselves every morning. I mean, come on. That's just asking for inferiority complex kids if they're not pledging allegiance to themselves, so.
I think then we get a problem with narcissism.
Nah, narcissism's not a problem. Now, if he was inciting other kids to pledge allegiance to Bart, then we might have a cult of personality problem going on. But, you know, it's Bart writing this, so.
I believe they cover that issue later on in the show. The couch gag is, there's no couch when they go to jump on it. No couch.
What?
It's a nice little meta thing. They've already addressed it. The episode starts off with Marge cooking pork chops, I believe, and putting a whole bunch of spices on things. Homer takes that into account and says, oh, I'm going to build you a spice rack. He does a miserable job.
That is the saddest looking spice rack
it
ever.
It is. Yeah, it's it looks really rough.
That's like something I would build.
Matt, you could do much better than that. I think my cat, I think Tide could do a better job. But, you know, they're watching Itchy and Scratchy. The first of many Itchy and Scratchy cartoons in this show. The first one is Hold That Feline. But Maggie's watching it, and she gets a wrong impression from it, apparently. And in a nice, beautiful, really wonderful sequence, it's a homage to Psycho, the shower scene in Psycho. Maggie hits Homer in the head with a mallet? A hammer?
That's a hell of a hammer. I mean, I certainly don't have that in my toolbox.
No, it's a large one. I don't know how Maggie wields it so expertly, but, you know, she is a very dexterous baby. But, you know, it has the red paint on the, going down the drain in the basement. I don't know how a basement has a drain, but.
It's a very special, it was a murder basement before The Simpsons had it, so, you know, they had to clean things off.
Homer is heavily bandaged and incapacitated, has to stay home from work, has to call in and admit that his baby beat him up.
Which apparently he claims is not the worst excuse he ever came up with. So I want to know what the worst excuses were.
Marge is wondering, how could Maggie do such a thing? At that same time, Itchy and Scratchy is on again. This time the episode is titled Kitchen Cut-Ups, where Itchy is... stabbing Scratchy with knives quite brutally, and Maggie is going to grabs a pencil and is going to stab Homer, and Marge stops her, realizes Itchy and Scratchy is the one influencing her to do this, and she basically bans Itchy and Scratchy in the house. at this point.
Which, one of the things I was always bugging about this episode is Marge's logic throughout the episode is more than a little off. So it's like, if you want to ban Maggie from watching Itchy and Scratchy, that's fine, but it's not really affecting Bart and Lisa. They're not the ones trying to kill their father with hammers and mallets and knives. So
yeah,
maybe you should still have the baby in the room.
I think there's a level of subtlety that they really can't quite get into in a 22-minute long episode. But yeah, I mean, I would think that, yes, if you don't want your children watching something, turn it off. But the rest of the episode details Marge's crusade to get Itchy and Scratchy off the air or to change it into something not what it is. We see her watch another episode with Homer. I believe Bart and Lisa are at school or otherwise engaged somewhere. And she's cataloging the violence in it, which is quite a common practice now. There's a lot of websites, like parent websites, that tell you exactly the level of violence and sexuality in television and movies.
And there are a few that will go like minute by minute and tell you when terrible things appear. So if you want to watch those things, you can just kick your kids out for a minute or two.
Yeah, I mean, it works both ways. the list of things she writes down, I thought that was really funny. Three cats blown up, one mice launched, two dogs tricked, two gophers buried alive, three eyes knocked out, two disembowelings, and one brain slammed in car door. I like that one in particular.
That seems like a complex arrangement that I would like to see.
But Homer's like, well, what are you going to do? Like, she's upset, but he's like, well, you can't, you know, do anything. And she's like, I'm going to write a letter. And she writes a letter talking about her problems with the show. It goes to Krusty, who can't read it. It goes to one of the writers, who balls it up and throws it in the trash. Then we get Roger Myers Jr., who I previously mentioned is voiced by Alex Rocco, who is an actor, known most famously for his role in The Godfather, but he's been in many, many things, does lots and lots of voices. He's actually a former actual gangster. Like, he was in an Irish gang in Boston. He actually got rid of his Boston accent. I was a Wikipedia black hole I got sucked into when I was researching this episode. So he's an interesting fella, but he does a really good job. He has a very unique voice and it works really well with a kind of a industry president, bigwig kind of guy. But he writes a letter back calling, you know, with this has the standard form response at top. And then below it's more specifically says, you know, you can't do anything. Calls her a screwball. Marge a screwball, and she gets her letter back, and she, you know, boldly proclaims, I'll show you what one screwball can do.
Dun, dun, dun!
Dun, dun, dun. And we're going to try something new this week, listeners, if you've been listening. We're going to jump over to Matt to do the plot synopsis for the second act.
So, yes, if you hate the sound of my voice, feel free to fast forward, because it is a podcast. As we come back from the act break, you have Marge and the rest of her family. At this point, it's just Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Homer, and Maggie's kind of hanging out, basically picketing with signs out front of the Itchy and Scratchy studios. And they all have, you know, funny messages on their picket signs. Bart, in a moment of rebellion, writes "don't" in Sharpie right above his, so, you know, people know where he stands. And of course, people who stop by and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Maud Flanders being the most vocal of them. And she asks, what's snuh? S-N-U-H. And then we have Marge forcing to explain herself as, it's snuh, stands for Springfieldians for Nonviolence, Understanding, and Helping. Which, great acronym, Marge. You really should work for Congress. But it apparently works, because we see more and more people starting to join in. We see the crowd get larger and larger. So obviously, there are a whole bunch of parents out there who, rather than spend time with their kids and talk to them, would much rather march at a protest rally.
That's true.
We cut later on to the scene of the Simpsons at the dinner table, and they're eating the worst TV dinners I've ever seen. Like, I've eaten TV dinners since the early 90s, and these are bad.
Peas everywhere.
Yeah. Peas in the fruit cobbler. I mean, really. Ugh.
Yeah.
But the kids constantly complain, and Homer does as well, and Marge says, I'll make it up to you tomorrow night. And she's like, oh, wait, when Homer asks for pork chops, she says, oh, wait, I've got three protest rallies tomorrow, which, how do you forget about three different protest rallies?
I really, how can you fit in three different protest rallies is my question.
They're going to holographically projector with Pepper's Ghost Illusion, like they did Tupac.
I was going to say, yeah, we heard Marge and Tupac.
They're practically the same person.
Practically the same.
And of course, all throughout this dinner, Bart is constantly asking, I'm going to go watch some cartoons. Oh, I guess I'm going to go watch some cartoons. Hey, how about who's up for some cartoons? And Marge immediately shuts him down every single time.
As at this point, have they gone to their friend's house yet to start watching?
Yes, I believe when they were watching Messenger of Death, the one where Marge was taking notes, that's where they were at their friend's house. I think Lisa was at Janie's house and Bart was at Milhouse.
Janie had a very large TV.
Yeah, I want to say, isn't Janie Dr. Hibbert's daughter?
We'll find out very shortly.
Through the magic of the internet, we will find out.
The Simpsons. Janie Powell, no.
Oh, Powell, okay.
Her last name is Powell. I don't know. I don't think we've ever met the Powells, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
She's Colin Powell's daughter, obviously.
Maybe.
And, of course, when Homer hears that Marge has three protest rallies, he says there are 20 million women in the world, and I had to marry Jane Fonda, which...
Wait, that joke does not age very well.
No, it really doesn't, because I'm sure anyone today is like, who in the world is Jane Fonda? We learned later on that one of these protest rallies is actually at the Krusty the Clown show, because when Krusty goes to introduce the latest Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, he is soundly booed by Marge and her snuh crew in the audience. Not right. Snuff crew, snuh.
Snuh. And I want to say, is this the first appearance of Corporal Punishment?
I believe so.
Yeah. And Sideshow Mel.
And Sideshow Mel. Already has the bone in his head, fully fleshed out character.
Does not speak, but he is there.
He's still got the slide whistle that he inherited from Sideshow Bob.
Of course.
I really hope he cleaned that. So Krusty is booed, and he goes to the... Roger Myers Jr. to the studio and says, you got to help me. I'm getting booed and egged on the street. And so Roger Myers has to consult with his writers about how to deal with this. And they come up with the worst possible options. Drop an anvil on her, throw a stick of dynamite down her throat with a lit match afterwards and run. Which... Well,
Matt, they write cartoons. That's how you solve problems in cartoons.
Yes, cartoon writers are basically cartoon characters.
And I believe that some of these writers are, I think they're modeled after actual Simpsons writers.
If they weren't, I would be very disappointed. It's actually, I was surprised, it is a rather gender and culturally diverse writer's room. So that's how I can believe it may be modeled on Simpsons themselves.
I don't think there are any women in the early Simpsons writer's room.
Okay, probably not. But there was in this writer's room. She was the one with the dynamite. I like the way she thinks. She's a go-getter right there.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, Marge is at that same moment outside protesting. Once again, she's leading the protest rally with one of the greatest cries. Oh, what do we want? Substantially less violence in children's programming. When do we want it? Now! Which... Now. Again, Marge, leave it to the speechwriters, because that's terrible.
She's, snuh. I think that first sign we see of hers that is like a paragraph, we get kind of what she's good at and what she's not. So
that's true. Marge Simpson is not part of the Twitter generation.
No. But, and also the question about who's been hit in the head by their children.
Oh, that's right. How many of you were hit in the head with mallets last week? And there's like four guys in the audience with bandaged heads.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's a little crazy, but yeah.
But the best part is, during all of this, one of the writers at the studio is outside watching Marge, and he gets the idea for a new character for Itchy and Scratchy. So apparently Poochie was not a one-time thing. And he draws a squirrel with Marge's hair on it. And you later get to see that episode. And it's basically Itchy and Scratchy doing their normal try to cut each other. And then the Marge squirrel pops in and says, don't do that! Don't do that! And then Itchy and Scratchy proceed to team up and kill her. So
They are using baseball bats.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. They're beating
It's a home run. It's a baseball themed.
That's true. And doesn't one of them knock her head off?
Yes, it's a home run. Home run with Marge the squirrel's head.
And of course, Marge is still watching these episodes, taking notes, and she sees this and is understandably upset. Then, coincidentally right then, gets a phone call from the local Emmy award-winning Kent Brockman, who invites her to be on his Smartline program, which...
Is this the first time we see Smartline?
I'm pretty sure it is. What's
I
it,
think so.
What's it based on? I forget.
Like, there's lots of shows like it. I don't... Like, there's Dateline NBC.
Dateline, is, that's what it's based on.
But that's the name is definitely pulled from that. Dateline right. was more of just a news show, but I know, like, 2020 and all those kind of...
Gotcha.
60 Minutes. Not quite 60 Minutes, but that kind of right. feel where a panel head talking... It's... There weren't that many... Back in the early 90s, now you go to any news channel, it's all they have.
Right, because they're all 24-hour news.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, Marge goes on Smartline to talk about the violence inherent in Itchy and Scratchy. And it is Kent Brockman, obviously, Marge, Roger Myers Jr., Krusty the Clown, who can't stop giggling for the camera because that's what Krusty is.
He's... Quote, he's clowning.
Oh, he's a clown. I get it.
Yeah.
And in a return, Dr. Marvin Monroe, satellite, live on satellite from Vienna, the birthplace of Sigmund Freud, for some reason.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Now, what in the world is wrong with that, Mrs. Simpson?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Excuse me. Excuse me. He was addressing me.
I know. There's nothing wrong with
Excuse me. There is. I think that it's a bad influence on children.
Give me a break. I think that is a bunch of baloney. And here's why. In preparing for this debate, I did a little research, and I discovered a startling thing. There was violence in the past long before cartoons were invented.
I see. Fascinating.
Yeah, and there was something called the Crusades, for instance. Tremendous violence. Many people killed. The darn thing went on for 30 years.
And this was before cartoons were invented.
Oh, that's right, Kent. So much for your viewpoint.
But essentially, Kent Brockman asks Marge, what's up with this? Why are you doing this? And she explains about what happened and that she wants to see less violence. And of course, Roger Myers cuts in and cuts her off at the very first instance, and then once Marge gives her piece, he talks about the Crusades, and turns out there was violence before cartoons. Robbie, did you know that? I thought cartoons introduced violence.
I took a history class or two. I don't remember there being violence before cartoons.
Well, had you ever heard about this Crusades thing? I mean, that doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
Is that like a television program in the 80s, maybe?
Maybe you're right. Apparently went on for 30 years, though, so probably not the 80s. Maybe the 50s.
So it's The Simpsons.
I guess so.
Or Bonanza. Gunsmoke. One of those westerns.
But anyway, Dr. Marvin Monroe sides with the cartoon. This is apparently an extremely short news show of, like, maybe 3 minutes. So Marge has 9 seconds to tell everyone why they should join her protest. And she says... She asks everyone in the listening audience, viewing audience, to go out and write letters to the Itchy and Scratchy studios to explain why they will never watch Itchy and Scratchy ever again. And, of course, Roger Myers Jr. doesn't care. He doesn't expect anything. But we pull to a very obvious Miracle on 34th Street homage with just bags and bags and bags of letters and trucks full of letters being delivered to the studios. But we actually have this audio, and we're going to play it for you now.
I don't believe this. I will never watch your show, buy any of your products, or break if I see you crossing the street. Wow, that's cold. Dear Sleaze Merchant, oh, come on, that hurts. Gentlemen, the screwballs have spoken.
So that ends the act, and we come back to Itchy and Scratchy being basically remade. And they've seen Roger Myers and Itchy and Scratchy Studios, whatever, have seen the light and realized that violence is not allowed anymore. And they don't know how to solve a problem in their cartoons, so he just calls up Marge and asks her what to do. And this basically... She actually makes the kids watch the cartoon, or lets them. They're like excited when they see that she's going to let them watch the cartoon, and we get a different Itchy and Scratchy in an episode titled "Porch Pals." They have like the big shiny like early Mickey Mouse eyes, like cartoons you saw like in the like Steamboat Willie, but they have those early cartoony eyes that are shiny, and they're nice to each other.
They love, 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 share, share, share.
Yeah, they give each other lemonade. They dance. They're dancing. They dance with each other. And it's a really... They, like, intersperse this awful itchy and scratchy with these kids, like, going... Just turning... With kids turning off the TV and going outside. And this is... It's set to Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, which... You probably can't think of what it is off the top of your head, but you've heard it. You recognize it when you hear it. It's in a lot of nature documentaries. Because it feels like, you know, flowers blooming in springtime.
Like, would you say a pasture?
Well, pastoral does not. It's not a reference to pastures. But, yes, it's similar to that. Music education.
Mm-hmm.
But all these kids are bursting out of their houses and, like, rubbing their eyes. And we see them skipping rope and skateboarding and having fun outside and being like, productive and healthy. Because the television, like, because Itchy and Scratchy is so terrible, they're driven outside into being healthy children. It's quite idyllic. We see, like, a Nelson, like, doing, like, a Huck Finn Tom Sawyer painting, you know, whitewashing a fence. At dinner time, Bart and Lisa are suddenly very polite. What is it? They went bird watching.
And they saw a grackle.
A grackle. What did Bart done?
Did he go down to the old swimming hole? Was that it?
Yeah, he went fishing and almost caught a catfish.
Oh,
that's what it went fishing. And then they go out and they're going to go work on their soapbox derbies, which we get in a later episode. And, like, it's a magical transformation.
Because watching cartoons has made kids completely destroyed, and keeping them from watching this one cartoon will magically make them better.
It's transformed them. And Marge and Homer, you see them, they're excited. The kids are, all the kids in the neighborhood are happier, healthier. But Homer and Marge are sleeping. They get woken up by knocking on the door early on in the morning with news that they have something new to protest. Who is it? Is it a Lovejoy? Is it
Helen Lovejoy?
Helen Lovejoy is the one who does it. That Michelangelo's David is coming to Springfield. It's hitting New York, Springfield, and if they have time, was it Chicago, Boston, and L.A.?
Yep.
Yeah. Of course, Springfield's number two on the list. But obviously, Michelangelo's David is a beautiful work of art, one of the most recognizable sculptures in the world. But they're upset because, obviously, it has a nude male in it, and they want Marge to lead the charge. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. to protest the statue. And Marge is like, actually, I'm not against that. I think David is a beautiful work of art, and everyone should see it.
Well, everyone knows that Marge is soft on full frontal nudity. I mean, come on.
Is she?
Apparently. I mean, she's okay with David. I mean, that statue portrays parts of the human body, which, while accurate, are known to be evil.
It's true. It's very true. But Marge appears on Smartline again. And this time they're like, well, they just assume she's against it. He's like, actually, no, I'm not against it. I think it's good. I think people should see it. And they ask her, well, how can you be against both Itchy and you can feel Itchy and Scratchy is so violent and censor that, but then you don't want to censor this. And she's like, I don't know. I can't really explain it.
Which is crap.
Well, you can explain it. It's not that complicated.
You
really.
It's like, oh, I'm against violence, but not accurately portraying people's bodies. It's like, okay, well, that's an explanation. Whew, man, that's
yeah. I'm not against hyperviolence, but we quickly return to the status quo. Itchy and Scratchy is back to its normal hyperviolent intestines spilling out of bodies and eyes being replaced with little tiny bombs. You know, and Marge and Homer go see David. They go see the exhibit, and Marge is upset because of it, and Homer asks him about it. And we have pulled this clip. It ends the episode, as many Simpsons episodes end, with Homer and Marge kind of putting a bow on things with their one-on-one conversations. And here it is.
Well, there he is. Michelangelo's Dave.
David.
Oh, what's wrong, Marge?
Here the kids have a chance to see a great work of art, and instead they're home watching a cat and mouse disembowel each other.
Hey, don't worry, Marge. Pretty soon, every boy and girl at Springfield Elementary School is going to come and see this thing.
Really? Why?
They're forcing them.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
It kind of ends on that punchline of, ah, ha, ha, they're forcing them to see it. The schools are making them see it, which I think the it's kind of, it's a weird gag that The Simpsons come back to, is like the public school system, like as bad as it is often like the thing that, like they talk about that in school prayer, it's, and in this instance, you know, making them go see David, like, they're doing a good thing in the wrong way.
Well, every once in a while, you have to force people to appreciate art.
This, it ends the episode. A lot of these early season episodes, a lot of the early season one, season two episodes do with Marge and Homer kind of, yeah, having a little discussion and kind of putting a bow on it. Any are there anything specific that you want to mention, Matt?
Not particularly. I mean,
I do like there is a small bit in there where, right before Marge puts on the new, really the new revamped Itchy and Scratchy, where Homer's watching an infomercial and they ask him, how much would you pay for this? And he yells $1,000 at the TV screen.
Oh, don't answer yet. Oh, sorry.
And he apologizes. That is a...
Well, if it's 67 bit. Tools in one, man, you would be crazy to not pay $1,000 for that.
But overall, I like that it broached this topic. I think it's interesting.
Especially with a cartoon so incredibly violent as Gene and Scratchy. Like, anyone who's protesting The Simpsons for any type of violence is way lower priority than the violence in Gene and Scratchy.
And obviously, the writers are also kind of making a statement about the early controversy about The Simpsons, about a lot of people calling, you know, Bart a bad role model and all that. He's a bad idol for children. And they make a point, like in commentary and stuff, to show that the writers try to show they're very liberal people, obviously, and they try to make this balanced with showing, like, they stop the violence, and the children are, it's not really, honestly, the violence that does it. It's them watching it, and then without a cartoon to watch, they are more likely to do other things. And that, having that kind of more balanced approach to topics is refreshing, but still I can't help but disagree with the basic sentiment of it. It's, I don't know, it, what they're trying to say about it, what Itchy and Scratchy is. I mean, I watched Looney Tunes as a kid, and Looney Tunes is not as violent as Itchy and Scratchy.
Well, it's pretty violent. It just doesn't show the consequences of violence like Itchy and Scratchy do.
That's true. But Itchy and Scratchy, the same thing. Both the animals are alive at the end of the next episode, the next cartoon. They're both alive again. So
that's true.
It's the same thing. But I don't know. This episode is not with that. It focuses less on, it has a lot of, like, it's not as joke heavy, but it does have lots of thematic stuff. It doesn't have a lot of cultural commentary on it. I think that's the strength of this one, is that it has those things. And of course, lots of Itchy and Scratchy.
Well, of course,
people were clamoring for it. I believe I heard, and at the time, and this gives you a lot of Itchy and Scratchy. There's like seven different bits of Itchy and Scratchy, even though one of them is that terrible, giving them each other lemonade. And we will rank this episode at the end of the show. A few comments from the news group. I think that's going to be the name of the segment. Comments from the news group. This is alt.tv.simpsons, the old news group that started in the early 90s, still available on Google Groups if you guys want to search for it. The big thing that happened this week was that the West Coast broadcast satellite went down for like the first act. So people on the West Coast did not see the first act of this show in its original broadcast.
Those poor deprived souls. It must have been very confused.
It was a lot of people asking, like, please tell me what happened. I started watching the second act and I missed. I don't know what happened. What's going on? But that, you know, lots and lots of posts about that. There is one guy who asks about Maggie. He's like, one more thing. When is Maggie going to talk? Or is she just going to suck on that pacifier for the next 5 years? I remember during the Bart Goes to France episode, Homer in his letter to Bart said they were expecting Maggie to talk very soon. I think Marge actually says it, but I think that's funny because don't 5 years more than wait longer than that, buddy.
Yeah. It's like, here we are 25 years later and we're still waiting.
She did. She has said one word.
Oh, that's true. She said dada.
Yeah, that one time. Still, it's yeah. I think that's funny. Oh, hindsight's 2020. But that's pretty much it. There wasn't any. I mean, still, they're still dealing with trolls. I think it's going to be a constant battle from here on out.
Just going to get worse as more and more people get on the internet.
Yeah. We did get another college essay from a reader, from Dave W. I'm not going to use his last name. He wrote for one of his composition classes in college. It's a critique of a philosophy essay in the book Simpsons and Philosophy, which I do own. I do recommend it. It's an excellent book. Where one of the philosophers who involved the book had commented about the Simpsons becoming like they had no true moral stance. That everything all the moral kind of episodes, the ones that kind of tried to teach you a lesson, were ultimately empty and etc. And Dave wrote an article critiquing that. Giving some examples from the show, of course. I really enjoyed it. But I agree. I when I read that article, it's tricky because the Simpsons throughout the different periods of the show, as different showrunners took over, as the message of the show changed, as the era of the show changed, you can't really compare them one to one. Like, you can't say, like, I don't think The Simpsons, like, seasons 1 and 2, or 3 through 5, or, like, every time, like, every shift, it changes a little bit. And especially, like, what people consider the classic years, like, especially after that, like, they call it, because there is a shift in how the show works. And I think trying to compare the two, it's not fair to the show itself.
No, and it really also depends on the particular writer of an episode, the particular showrunner for the couple of seasons. Some episodes have, you know, a very strong moral core. Some episodes are just kind of jokes, and that's okay.
Yeah, and the thing is, the reason the show's kept going is because it's poked fun at itself, and like it for a long time. A lot of shows don't last past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And the reason The Simpsons has held on is because of those shifts. Because they went from a show that, you know, like this episode has a lot of cultural commentary, or, you know, shows where there's a strong moral stance on things, to poking fun at them doing that, poking fun at themselves doing it. So that's it has changed so that it is continued. And that's an entirely different argument altogether if that's a good thing or not. But trying to say that the second season of The Simpsons doesn't have a strong moral stance because there's an episode in the 14th season that doesn't, I don't think it's fair.
It's probably not fair to compare even episodes within seasons because, you know, some, like even this episode, tend to have a pretty strong moral, whereas last week, Bart vs. the Daredevil, not exactly a heavily moral episode.
No, it's just Bart, you know, Bart and Homer, and that's more of a familial episode. I mean, if there is any kind of emotional at all of it, it's more about Homer and Bart. But most of it's just Bart being Bart. It's not, you know, in sight gags and funny Daredevil stuff. Yeah, so yeah, guys, please, if you have essays you've written about The Simpsons, I love to read them. I love to get them. I love to talk about them on the air. So please send them to me. You can email them us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. And any longer comment, any questions you want to ask us, you can send them there too. Anything. Yeah. We like getting now. On to our listener question of the week. What is your favorite Simpsons landmark and why? There's many, many answers. I don't think that we could even like get enough answers to give all the answers because Springfield has expanded so widely as the years have gone on.
If this was a multiple choice question, we'd run it on like quadruple Z.
Yeah, there'd be lots and lots of answers. But you guys, again, great response. Please keep it up. We really enjoy it. I love hearing all your guys' answers every week. It's really nice to, like, to wake up in the morning and see, like, 10 emails from people answering the questions. It's really cool. Answers this week, we have Richard, the lemon tree, because it's not a turnip. We have John W. R., the Statue of Marge, formerly the Statue of President Jimmy Carter, history's greatest monster.
Malaise forever.
I completely had forgotten about that too. Danielle, the Springfield Mystery Spot, because who doesn't want to take a holiday from logic and the laws of nature? Poor Ozzie Smith.
And he was never heard from again.
He just disappeared. We have Kirsten, the statue of Jebediah Springfield, because a noble spirit in Biggins, the smallest man. Plus, this pirate got in a fist fight with George Washington. Not too shabby.
He's a very cromulent individual.
He is. Theo, a skyscraper made of popsicle sticks, because who doesn't want one of those?
I would assume a town that has a giant magnifying glass wouldn't want one of those. But I'd be wrong.
You would be wrong. Alex, Crusty Loose Studios, because it's because of its proximity to the box factory. Crackton is a close second. Gotta love Crackton. Chris, the Sleep Easy Motel, where even the Bible is coin operated. On Twitter, we have Jordan at jscott1028. The Springfield Knowledgeium. And Homer's comment, but good things don't end in AM. They end in mania or teria.
I believe it was teria as in cafeteria.
Cafeteria. Excuse me.
That's where all the good things happen. Where food is involved.
Me from SC at me from SC. So many Lambergs, but favorite is probably the most noticeable. The Lard Lad Donut. It's a Springfield as it gets. So Matt, what's your answer?
This is actually, like you said, the expansion of landmarks is kind of insane, but I'm going to have to go with Mount Springfield because it brought Homer and Barney back together in the Mr. Plow episode, and they slid down in a rocket house in a Mountain of Madness. So going to have to go with Mount Springfield.
Lord protect this rocket house and all those who dwell within this rocket house.
Exactly.
My answer is the Lard Lad. Lard Lad and his big donut. It comes to life in the Treehouse of Horror episode. It saves the monorail because the M gets embedded in the donut. I love it.
It's a very important landmark.
Yeah, and I mean it's a donut,
but it's probably not as delicious as we want it to be.
That's true. Next week's question: favorite itchy and scratchy cartoon. There's a lot of them. I know a lot of them probably won't pop straight in your head. I know a few did to me, but obviously there's the internet if you guys need some references.
That's true. Go watch all the episodes and find us the good ones.
But you can – I will post our listener question on all our social media on our Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Like us there. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at SimpsonsShowPod. So again, favorite itchy and scratchy cartoon. And why? I mean the why is generally, A, it's funny, but you know. If you have a specific reason you like it, please mention it. With that, I think it's time for the segment we end every episode with.
No.
No, yes, 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 Matt.
Don't make me choose.
It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a segment where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode and how good they are in relation to one another. It's really just an excuse for us to talk about what makes a good Simpsons episode. Now, Matt, this is a tricky one. I don't know if I could be surprised about where you would put this, but where's your first placement? Where do you think it goes?
It's actually really tough for me. I feel like, honestly, out of all the episodes in season two so far, with the exception of, I think, just Dancing Homer, this is probably my low one in season two. So I would probably have to put it at either number 7 or number 8. I'm having trouble deciding whether it's better than Krusty Gets Busted, because I love the Bart and Lisa aspects of Krusty Gets Busted, and you have all these show business parodies. And this one, you have some very similar show business parodies, but it's mostly a pretty standard story. I mean, you have the Itchy and Scratchy, which is great, but it doesn't really add a whole lot except for some crazy sight gags. So, honestly, I really put Simpson and Delilah above this because the jokes are more thorough. It's got a stronger story. Things make a little more sense. But that's kind of where I'm going with. So what do you think?
I don't know. It's really tough. This is a hard one. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, Matt could go as high as 4 and then as low as, like, 8, like you said. Like, looking back, I don't even know if this is better than Bart the General.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's close.
Yeah, true. So I'm like, I'm trying to think, like, which would I rather? I don't know if it should be which would I rather watch again? Because that's, I don't know if that's a fair test of what kind of quality we're.
That's true. Because if that's our judgment, then I would probably put it down below Mona Lisa. Because there's really not a whole lot to go on the rewatch. But if you're watching this for the very first time, it's got some interesting things.
Yeah, and it does have the commentary on society. I like the societal commentary. I like the psycho parody is really strong.
The Roger Myers Jr. Alex Rocco is fantastic.
He does a really great job. I'd say put this at man, this is tough. Because I think that a degree of difficulty is important. Because this is tackling something pretty tough that and it does a pretty good job at it.
That's true.
I'd say right under Krusty Gets Busted.
So number 8, you say it then?
I would say.
I think that's a good spot for it.
I think number 8 is fine. I think number 8 is a good spot for it. Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, we have it, the new number 8 on the list. Right below Krusty Gets Busted, right above Treehouse of Horror.
If you disagree, let us know.
What's next week, Matt? What are we watching next week?
Let's see. Next week, I believe, is that classic Bart Gets Hit by a Car.
Bart gets hit by a car. Another Burns heavy episode.
They really like to use him a lot in the early seasons as a more developed character. But we'll talk more about that next.
Yeah, he's a solid villain that they're building. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. You can read everything I get up to online there. You can also check out my comic book podcast. Listen to me gripe about comic books instead of about The Simpsons. It's Hans Boys Comics Hour. It's at HansBoysComicsHour.com. Matt, you does not participate in social media.
Nope, but I am an avid partaker of graffiti. So if you have an opinion, spray it on a building somewhere. I'll probably see it because there's the internet.
Include El Barto?
Especially El Barto or El Homo if you're more of a Homer person.
True. With that, we will call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I am Matt.
Keep watching The Simpsons!